Ready? So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Father, bless your word. And Lord, open up our hearts now to just really hear from you. From you, Lord. As we have read your inspired word, do your work in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You can be, if you're standing, you can be seated. You can keep on standing. I really don't care. It's not fair. I have to stand. Everybody else sit down. So I'm glad that you didn't just come thinking that we're just going to come sit through church. But don't we do that a lot as Christians? We just want to come sit through church. I was talking to someone not too long ago, and, you know, they like to just go to different conferences and revivals. They've got a lot of struggles in their life, but it's almost like I felt led to ask the question. There's a certain type of singer and preacher you like to hear. Not just any qualify, but you'll drive miles, but then you may not plug into your own church. It's almost like that type of preaching, singing is an entertainment to them, and it's all right to enjoy it. I hope you do. But it's kind of like that was their activity of entertainment, and it really wasn't getting in there. So I hope that's not just it. And I got to say, Stacy, I got to say what Macy said, because bless her heart, she just so, I wish everybody was excited as little Macy was, because she saw the videos come on and everything. She's just all excited. She goes, you know what, said, we got, the show's about to start. And yeah, she was excited. I said, well, I wish everybody was that excited. But you know what, if we just having a show, probably they would. But it's more than that. God says, you're not just here as a spectator, you're here as a participant, because we're a body. And we were talking about this, and we've been going through this series about called out. Now, if you remember that we believe God's word's inspired. That means it is God-breathed. That means that we believe that down to the selection of every single word, even though God worked through men, and I'm glad he did. If he just dropped his word out of heaven in some heavenly language, I don't know that I could have understood it or related to it. But I can relate to real people. How about you? So I'm so glad that when God caused his word to be written down, you know that we use the word scriptures, right? You know where that comes from? It comes from the Greek word, and I don't want to be like cute or slick here, but we believe the Bible is inspired, and you, if you don't know this, you need to know that the New Testament was written in Koine Greek. The Old Testament mostly was written in Hebrew, all right? And any other language has been translated off of that. All right, so the word scripture in English, the word in the Bible where it refers to itself as scripture is the word graphe. We get the word graph from that. It means to put it down, to graph it. So at some point, God wanted his word graphed. He wanted it put down where we could see it. It was written down. God used people like us. And it says that, and they used their own personalities and styles come through. But he says that Peter tells us that they did this as they were borne along or moved by the Holy Spirit. And it's a nautical term there, like a ship is carried along by the wind and it sails. And so that we believe that when the word hit the page, it was what God wanted. So we believe every word of the Bible is inspired. And that word church, that is our English word, we have things that means the building. But when we look at that word in the original language, and like I said, I'm not trying to be cute here, but here's what it is. You can check this out yourself. It's not that hard to do these days. It's the word ekklesia. It literally means called out. Called out. That's what that word means. That's what we're doing this series about, called out. God is calling us out. He's calling us out of a world of darkness into his kingdom of light. We are called out. And we've talked about that and talked about the purpose for which he's called out his church, that God is building his eternal kingdom. Did you even realize, and we need to be reminded that this world and everything around us is one of these days going to be gone? Did you know that everything that a lot of times that we worry about and hassle about is going to be gone? We realize really that our lives, even if you live to be as old as Daryl Cope even, you know, and you're up in your 90s, You realize, what is that compared to forever? Now, it's barely a blip on the screen. So here's the thing. We got to get things in perspective. There's this eternal perspective. God's wanting to do some eternal thing. It's more than just me and my here and now. And a lot of things that are hurting me, a lot of things that bother me, aren't going to last. The good things aren't going to last, but the bad things aren't going to last either. I've got to have something in my life that's solid. I've got to have something in my life that no matter what happens in this world, no matter how dark it gets in America, that I've got a rock that I can build my life on. No matter what storms come, that I've got a solid foundation so that I will not be shaken. I want to know that it's more than about me just squeaking out my little existence and then I'm gone and everybody forgets about me. You know, you live your life and all of a sudden you're gone and all that stuff you thought was so valuable, they're not even auctioning it off, they're giving it away. All that stuff that you collected that you thought would be so valuable, and grandkids, I want you to have it, they put it in the yard sale. You see what I'm saying? What was it? One guy said, you know, that everybody come together and they cry. They're going to miss you a little bit. They're going to go to the cemetery and gather around your grave. They're going to cry a little bit. They're going to talk about, you know, hopefully how good a person you were. And sometimes it's just amazing. You know, that's one thing that's going to be a blessing, though, when I die, because people like you a lot better when you're dead. Have you? They do. And it's, you know, if you're alive, they say, but, you know, you just die. Oh, yeah, it's good. Man, we miss them and everything. But they'll cry a little bit. And then they go back to the church and eat potato salad and chicken. See? You know? That's it. You know, it's got to be more than that. And that's why Jesus, remember when he taught us to pray the model prayer? Remember that? That we start out focused on him and not us. Hallowed be thy name. And then we're focused on his purpose, his plan, and not our problems. A lot of times I go to God and I want to focus on my problems. But God wants us to focus on his purpose, his plan. Because we pray about, you know, not only hallow his name and bow him and honor him, but his kingdom come. His will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Okay? It's God's purpose. It's God's plan. He taught us to pray about the kingdom. He's building this eternal kingdom. He's calling us out of this lost world. You know, he didn't make us like animals with instinct. He didn't make us like robots or puppets. But he made us in his own image, and part of that is having a soul, having a will, mind, will, and emotion. And we have all come to the point in our lives, not just Adam and Eve, but we've all done this. We've sinned against God. God is perfect. God is holy. God is pure. Heaven's a perfect place. But we're tainted. We're infected with sin. Something had to be done about that sin. Or else, if God led us into his presence, he wouldn't any longer be perfect, and heaven wouldn't be perfect. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why God himself, God the Son, came down to pay the price that was really on us. He paid our sin debt. That's why God did all this. But he didn't do it all just to get you out of earth and into heaven. He did it so that he might come into you. He did it because through this world, he's calling out those who will put their faith in what he's done for them. God himself paid the price that he demanded, that we let him be Lord in our life. And God is building his kingdom. God is building his kingdom, and it's going to last forever. I want to be a part of something that lasts forever. I want to be a part of something that's bigger than the here and now. I want to be part of something that's bigger than just me and you guys. I want to be part of the kingdom of God. I want to be part of the family of God. I want to be part of the bride of Christ, as it's called in the Bible. I want to be part of one of Paul's favorite ways to describe the church. Remember what it is? The body of Christ. He's the head. We're the body. I want to be a part of that. How about you? And so life takes on a lot more significance. The good and the bad. It gets a little different perspective. The problems that I have. The people out there in town and in my family who treat me bad. And they do. At times. I tell you, I get no respect. Yeah. I'm turning into Rodney Dangerfield over here. Yeah, hey, I was born in a family and ended up being a middle child, middle of three. So, you know, it's been tough for me all the way through. All the middle children say amen. Yeah, you know, we identify that. Well, you know what I'm talking about. But because of that, it gets in a different perspective. You know, somebody wrongs me, somebody cheats me. You know what? I'm not going to let people run over me. But I'm going to realize this could be somebody that I'll get to lead to the Lord Jesus at some point. You know? Because sometimes we get narrow in our thinking. And we just really got it in for somebody. And we miss an opportunity for our life, their life, everybody's life to be changed. Now see, humanly speaking, I don't have the capability of doing this, but when the Holy Spirit comes in and he begins to transform my mind and rewire me, and I'm not relying on my power, I'm relying on his power, it's amazing what can happen. It's amazing what can happen. And let's just be honest. In most of our churches, most of our families, most of our communities, most of our churches, the things that are tearing the churches apart are not some of our little, nasty nine or dirty dozen sins, you know. It may not be rampant drug use. It may not be drunkenness. It may not be adultery. It might be gossip. It might be envy. It might be covetousness. It might be some things like that that are tearing things apart. Unforgiveness, bitterness, things like that begin to tear us apart, our families apart. We were talking about, you know, being a part of this body, and it's work. It takes a lot. That's why the one part of that Lord's Prayer where Jesus explained, he didn't comment on any of it except one part. Did you remember that? When he got to the part where he said to forgive us our debts or our trespasses, which is talking about sin. So you could say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. The only part about it that he came back after he finished it that's recorded in Scripture and talked about was that part. He said after he finished it, he said, because if you're not willing to forgive somebody else their trespass, don't expect God to be willing to forgive you of yours. You got to pass it on. So I need God's grace. I am growing, but I'm not anywhere where I know God wants me to be. I fail him. I need his grace. Does anybody else here need his grace? And then I'm going to realize other people are going to need that grace to flow through me. So when we're thinking about being part of the called out body of Christ, God is calling you out. He might be calling you out today. In fact, I know he is. We know that this right here is the thing we talked about a couple weeks ago. It involves a couple of things. Living out the call involves a relationship between you and God. Because remember, we talked about in Ephesians 4 about how he said to walk worthy of the calling which you received. He's talking about this. And part of that, he goes right into relationships. Remember that? About keeping the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It all has to do with this whole thing of what I want to call body language. Because we're part of a body. We're all members about all how we can interact together. What was it? Galen, you remember the porcupine syndrome? We learned so many years ago from Dr. Gary Smalley or somebody. Talking about we all turn into a bunch of like a porcupines on a cold winter's night. Because we're freezing and we're cold. We need to get close to each other to get warm, right? We do need each other. But as we get really close, we start getting a little too close. We begin to stick and to prick and to irritate each other. And we can't stand it. So then we move back further apart. Then we start getting so cold, we move back together. Only to irritate and needle one another again. And move back apart. And it's kind of like a strange thing that happens. So the moral of it is while we need each other, we also needle each other, right? Because we all have imperfections. And only the Holy Spirit, because it's the unity of the Spirit, remember? And about only the Holy Spirit working in our lives can pull this together, can pull this off. And this right here, I'm telling you, is one of the greatest witnesses that we have in that world outside where they see there's something different about us. Some of the acts of kindness that different ones of you guys have been doing as we talk about making an impact of people who don't even go to church, to go and just say, God's put it on our heart that he loves you and he wants to show you he loves you. And the way he wants to do it is he wants us to do something for you. Well, you just receive it. And to see what kind of impact that has with people. We have some people out there who say they don't even believe in God and all that. Well, that's okay, but we do believe in him, and we feel this is what he wants us to do. You know what? Your act of love coming through the Holy Spirit is going to have more impact than any sermon I'm ever going to preach. Right? So living out the call involves, first of all, it's got to start with your relationship between you and God. It's got to flow from there. But secondly, it does involve our relationship between each other, you and others. So this is the thing. According to this passage that we're getting into here now, and we're reading about being living sacrifices, we're reading about yielding ourselves to him, is that we cannot be truly sacrificed to him and be inactive in his work, because now he's going to go into this whole thing. He started out, did you follow it? About presenting your body even as a living sacrifice and being totally yielded to him. Him rewiring, transforming your mind, not being conformed to this world. Why would I want to be conformed to this world? Because I got news for you. The world's going down. It's falling apart. And one of these days, King Jesus is going to split the eastern sky. Okay? All right. I don't want to be conformed to that. See, and here's the problem. We're so much more influenced by our culture than we are the Word of God, because we can't hardly squeeze in a couple of hours to gather together to focus on God a week. you know, much less spend time in our devotions and in prayer every day and in Bible study and worship on Wednesday nights. You know, but we're in this world 24/7, and all the stuff we see in the media and on TV and everywhere else, it all impacts us, and we get exposed to that more than we're exposed to the Word of God. So it's no wonder that it has such an effect on us. And parents, I don't care how much you try to isolate your children, don't think you can do it. They're going to be impacted. What we need to be is insulated, not isolated. We need to be insulated by the presence and the Word of God in our life. And so that we have discernment, amen? And we're going to make choices. You got to make real choices. It's going to make an impact in your whole eternity. So here's the thing that we're seeing here. He goes into this whole thing about being yielded to Him and conformed to Him and not to the world. Then he's going to start talking about our attitudes. Not think more highly of ourselves than we should. Remember that? What's that, verse 3? Somebody check me out on that. I'm not looking at my Bible right now. Verse 3, not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Is that verse 3? You see, I'm making you look at your Bible. That's what I was wanting to do. Now, I knew I was right. No, I didn't. I was just double-checking. Now we're going this whole thing about, you got to remember that God has given us spiritual gifts to be used individually as members of the body to build up everything, each other, and to glorify God. So we cannot truly be sacrificed to Him and be inactive in His work. We see that to be truly successful in His work, we can't do that without being devoted to Him. So you got to start out presenting and yielding yourself. You got to be completely devoted to Him if you're going to be used by Him. Remember from 2 weeks ago, worship and devotion always precede service and usefulness. So in short, here's what we're saying as we get into this passage that I read to you today about serving Him, about being members of the body, using the gifts that He's given us. And He named several of them. Here's the basic idea today. Every believer is a living part of Christ's body. Amen? Every believer. Doesn't matter if you come or somebody that you know goes to a church with something different written on its sign. If you are genuinely saved, you've been saved, and as an expression of your faith, you have been baptized, identified with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life that the Bible talks about. You're saved. You're part of the body of Christ. We're part of each other. People like to get all fleshly minded and divide and this and that and all, you know. It's really, a lot of that's no different than some of people making fun of Dallas Cowboy fans or people fighting over Cardinals Cubs. And, you know, it's getting scary right now, I'll tell you the truth, when it comes to that. We're going to leave that right now. But anyway, because sometimes it's like, well, this is my home team. This church that I go to, I had somebody ask me, well, what church are you at in Hartville? Is it a Baptist church? And I said, yeah. He goes, well, what flavor? And I got it, you know, what flavor? There's so many different flavors. So some of that, it's not that that's not important, but what I'm saying is that sometimes we have ourselves quenched the work of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ in this world because of our own smallness and pettiness. And we don't realize that what he's saying here is true. Every believer is a living part of Christ's body. Each one has a function that is vital to the well-being of all. Remember, we're praying for one another. This is why this is so important. Because I'm going to tell you, when you're hurting, or when you're struggling, or when you're messing up, or when you're just flat out being wicked, it's going to hurt everybody in a lot of different ways. But whenever you're growing, and whenever you're using the spiritual gifts that God is putting into your life and working through you, and everything's working together, every one of us, I'm going to tell you, I don't care who you are, you have a function that is vital to the well-being of all. Okay? So let's slide right on through this because, he started out, we studied in Ephesians 4, talking about how God's grace not only provides salvation, but then also spiritual gifts to build one another up. To carry out His kingdom's purpose and to glorify Him. And then he goes right into this thing about how we got to get along together and how we got to love one another. He did that in Ephesians 4. He's doing the same thing here. Did you notice? Because then he's going to go into this whole thing, verse 9, right after where I read, he said, let love be without hypocrisy. And then he starts talking about in honor giving preference to one another, about dealing with this. It's always there. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Well, here's the thing. He says in verse 5, where we read, He says that, let me find it, being many are one body. Okay, I mean verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. All right, we're all part of one body. Are you with me? Am I with me? Okay, I think I know where I'm supposed to be here. Okay, we all have differing gifts. We're all part of one body. But he says here that is according to his grace that is given to us. Having gifts, look at it again. Differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, we got to get something here. Got to get something here. It's according to the grace that is given us. It is given. It is given. It is a gift. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. Somebody talked to me this past week about, I just struggle because I know I don't deserve to be saved. I feel so unworthy. I'm so worthy. And I wish they showed up today. Could help you. You know? You don't help yourself sometimes, but not gathering with brothers and sisters. But the thing about it is, that's why it's a gift. You don't earn it. If you pay for it, then it's not a gift. It's given to you. So out of God's grace, that's his unmerited favor, where he gives us salvation, where he himself paid for our salvation. No, we could never earn it. No, we could never deserve it. That's what makes it so awesome. But even out of that grace, he's not done. It's not just about you getting salvation. It's about him gifting you to not, man, this is good. Not only be saved by him, but to serve him. Huh? I mean, so I get to not only be in a relationship with God, I get to be involved in what God's doing. It's not that I'm going to do this and say, Lord, bless it. It's like, God, what are you doing? I get to get in on it. I want in on that. That's what it's a grace. It's a gift. It's given to us. And here's the thing. It's the source is God. God is the one that's going to give you everything that you need. When it comes to talking about spiritual gifts, I just want to clear the air right quick. Because when we're talking about spiritual gifts, we're talking about skills and abilities that God wants to use in your life in his kingdom work. That means in the work that he's doing in this world, building his eternal kingdom, that he wants to use in his church in serving him. So we're talking about skills and abilities because, hey, there is a lot to be done. Isn't there a lot to be done? I don't see angels coming down here and doing it. I don't see dead people rising up and doing it. I don't see the world who doesn't know God doing it. The very ones that God chose to do his work in this world are those same broken people who come to him by faith and receive his grace and are saved from their lostness and sinfulness. That's what it means to be saved. Saved from what? And being separated from God. We're saved from that. It's people like us, as imperfect as we are, that he has chosen to use to do miraculous things. I've never been able to get over one statement Jesus made. Do you remember something he told the disciples before he left them? He talked about things he's been doing, but he said greater things than these. Greater things than Jesus? How could that be? Well, part of it is this, is that while Jesus was here, though he's fully God, yet he was fully human, and he pretty much had to limit himself to being in one place at one time, right? And if you look at during the time he was on planet Earth in the flesh, he never traveled outside that area of Palestine. But now, oh, are you with me here? We have Jesus in every one of us, all over this planet, in every workplace you can imagine around here. And now we're not adding, we're multiplying. And so he is going to do greater things through us than even what he did while he was here as far as the works and things on earth. That's powerful. I believe what he said. So his gifts that he wants to use in your life for something greater than yourself in serving him is given by him out of his grace. You don't deserve it. I don't either. And it's to be used by him. It's not something for me to do with as I please, but it's used by him. It's his. I'm his. To be used by him for his kingdom and to his glory. So this is it. These gifts, he says, are differing, which means we don't all have the same gifts. I got to get through this. We don't all have the same gifts. We don't all have the same abilities. All right? Because we'll look at a few that are very, like in preaching forth the word. It's very visible. But I got to get through to you. I am really not the key to the work God wants to do here in this local church at all. I mean, I'm responsible for shepherding and for leadership and for teaching. I'm going to give account to God for what I say, not just you. Read Hebrews 13, by the way. All right? But for the work to be done. In fact, in Ephesians 4, he says that the part of the gift and the calling of the pastor, the shepherd pastor, he says that some are pastors, teachers, and that goes together. And a pastor means a shepherd, literally, is the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So that's really it. But if you're counting on me, you're going to be disappointed. It's you. It's you where God wants to do his work. And so we don't all have the same gift. But a lot of times we desire those gifts that are maybe more public. Sometimes they're the rough ones. Don't have to be the same. Remember that? We talked about how we're one, but that doesn't mean we're the same. Can I just let Paul tell you? Does that work better? Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. He says, there are diversities of gifts. We're not all gifted and skilled and good at the same things. Yeah, that's true. Some of y'all are into some weird stuff. I mean, you know, you got hobbies that don't even make sense to me. Anyway, let's leave that right there. Diversity of gifts, but one Spirit, one Holy Spirit, right? So we're different, but we're one. One Holy Spirit. Different of ministries. The word ministry literally means service. The different ministries. I'm not good at very many of them. I'm not gifted in very many of them. Can I try to do them? Yeah, but I don't do very good, and it wears me out. Meanwhile, some of you, man, you're gifted, you're skilled, you do great at it, and you just feel so blessed to do it. But there are different ministries. It's not all just one thing. It's a variety of things that go into the way we serve. But there's one Lord, one Lord. So we're not going different directions. We're going the same direction. We may be coming from different angles. We're going the same direction. We may be playing different instruments, hitting different notes, but it all harmonizes into one melody, one song, whatever. All right. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. You know what? If you are really giving yourself to the Lord, if you're truly saved, the Holy Spirit, God's presence in you is going to be manifest. Now, some people, and I know some people get hung up on this, that there is just a certain way that God's presence and the Holy Spirit, and the fact is that you're baptized into the Holy Spirit by the Holy Spirit, it's got to happen in one way. You know, you've got to do this. You've got to speak in tongues. You've got to do something else. You know what? According to the New Testament, what he says, you know, is that the manifestation is given to all, each one. There is going to be something that's going to come out of your life that's going to be supernatural that will manifest the presence of God in your life. And it has to do with the way you serve him as much as anything. So don't say that there's nothing. There is something. Is there anything coming out of your life manifesting that the Spirit is in your life, that God's presence in your life? But everything that's given to us isn't just for you. It's to benefit everyone. So listen to this. Whatever God gives you, he wants you to give. You are blessed to be a blessing. Do you see that there? Are you with it? Now, at the end of that chapter, he asks a rhetorical question. In verse 29 and 30 of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, he asks this. It's rhetorical because he doesn't answer it, but the answer is implied. Are all apostles? Well, were they? No. So there's your implied answer. No. Not everybody. Everybody, I want to be an apostle. Not everybody's going to be an apostle. Are all prophets? What's the implied answer? No. Are all teachers? No. You don't, just because you're getting serious about God don't mean you have to teach class. By the way, we do need teachers, but you know what I'm saying? Sometimes people who end up teaching are people who may not be called and gifted to teach, and they struggle with it. It wears them out, and they don't do too great a job. But we had to have somebody. See, that's the problem around here, is that there are a lot of spots that desperately need to be filled. And finally, kind-hearted, concerned people step in to do it that aren't called or gifted, but it's not being done. So they know it needs to be done. So they try to do it. And it's just not healthy. I feel like God has right here everything he needs to do what he wants to do right here. Just like when Jesus got ready to feed the 5,000, what do we have? All they could scrounge up was a little boy's basket lunch. But when you put it in his hands, lo and behold, as it turns out, he had everything that he needed to feed the multitudes. When we put everything into his hands, I guarantee you, in Jesus' hands, he's got everything right here, though it seems insignificant, to do incredible, amazing things. So not all our teachers. Do all work miracles? No. Do all have the gift of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues or in other languages? No. Do all interpret? No. Now, you'll have some people tell you that, no, you got to do this or that. But according to this, he says, not all have every or each gift. That's just the way it is. There are a diversity of things. And these gifts of ministering and serving and building up the body. But there's going to be something. Are you open to that? Okay. Wow. All right. Here's the thing. It doesn't just happen because I want to do something. Oh, man, I got to do something. You ever feel that way? I feel that way a lot of times. I'm not a very patient type person. There's times where you just kind of wait. And it's like, I'm going to do something. Dave Rolandi's that way when we go hunting. You know, deer aren't coming by. And after a while, it's like, well, I'm just going to do something. He'll walk over and scare them away from me. But I made that whole, no, I didn't really, but kind of did. You know? You know what I'm saying? It's not about that. It all starts with us bowing before, hallowed be thy name. It all starts about worship. You can't truly serve unless it flows out of a heart of devotion of worship. See, what we do flows out of our relationship with God. That's why worship and meditation, being in his word and in prayer, it's got to start there. You won't grow. See, you know these purposes of the church? Worship, as we've seen it outlined, and it's a good outline. In the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, in Acts chapter 2, you see the purposes of the church. People have done this for years, boiled it down to this. Worship. It's one of the purposes, to worship. Discipleship, or helping people grow, learning as a Christian. Fellowship, being part of the body, right? The koinonia, the sharing together. Service or ministry. That's one of the purposes of the church, is we minister to one another and minister to the world around us. And then evangelism, spreading the gospel. These are all part of the five purposes of the church. But you see how they all hinge together? And a lot of times this thing of service, all right, guys, stay with me now. You're going to miss it. This thing of service is a lot of it hinges right here, because you won't grow as a learner or a follower or a disciple unless you're putting into practice what you're learning. You're not going to be a disciple unless you're worshiping God. But you're not going to be a real disciple unless you're putting into practice what you're learning and it impacts others around you. That's ministry. So you can't really fulfill the first and second purpose unless you're serving and ministering. Not only will it build up other believers, the body, but it will impact the lost and lead others to know Christ. Evangelism. All five purposes. And you're part of a fellowship as you're ministering and sharing together. All five purposes right there. I hope some of you got that. Notice that after speaking of these gifts, he goes right into the topic of love. Let love be without hypocrisy. Because how we treat one another. He started out, you know, it's so important. He started out dealing with our attitudes and our think of ourselves more highly than we should. So the emphasis in serving God and using your spiritual gifts is on your attitude of humility and love as you serve. Not that thing I do. When we're talking about spiritual gift, we're not trying to find out just that thing you do, that you like to do, that you want to do. Back in the old church, you can talk about the problems we had whenever they went from the old potbelly wood stove to central air. Because there was this one old guy that thing he did was to get there early and put wood in the stove. And now y'all took that away from me. There's bigger things in the kingdom of God than that. See, it's not about you and that thing you do. It's about God's kingdom. So the emphasis has to be on humility and putting others ahead of yourself and love as you serve. Okay. It's been said, I think Warren Wiersbe said, that love is the circulatory system of the spiritual body. It enables all members to function in a healthy, harmonious way. So without love, none of this works. We're going to get into love, God willing, in the weeks ahead. So he goes in. Can I just run through these real quick? Really fast. Are you with me? We've got time. Just a few minutes. I'm not going to dwell on them, but just some of the things, because he goes ahead and mentions a few gifts here. He says, so that that having then gifts according to the grace given to us, and I preach this whole time on just that. You believe that? It's going to go fast now, so you got to buckle your seatbelt. So he says, let us use them. If prophecy, okay, so here's the performance of our service. So we're going to do these things. Here's some of them he mentions. Prophecy. He says, in proportion to our faith. All right. Now, a lot of times we think of the word prophecy, we think of somebody who tells the future. The actual word that's translated prophecy literally means to speak forth. It means to speak forth. So in the Bible, it's always somebody who speaks out for God. You know, as you're preaching the word of God, you are speaking forth. And to be honest, in English, it doesn't really take a primary meaning of telling future events until the medieval times. So it can involve that, but primarily it means one who speaks forth. That's why in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said the greatest gift is the speaking forth of the word of God. That's what builds up. And so he said, I want you to emphasize that, he said, to the Corinthians. So you remember in verse 3 where he said that God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, which means the kind and the quality of faith required to exercise your own spiritual gift. Even the ability to trust him in this comes from him. So here he says that if you're going to prophesy, you're going to speak forth the word, it needs to be in proportion to your faith. It indicates that it's got to be according to that measure he's dealt out to you. It's not according to your own personal power or opinion. It must come from God. It must agree with all the rest of scriptures, that it's got to be in proportion to that faith. You're not on your own here. You're not trying to go beyond where God has got you. It all comes from him. And then he says this one, ministry. Ministry. Now the word ministry comes from the Greek word diakonos. Do you know that? There's something. Yeah, Bible trivia. Write that down. You got it. It means to serve or to help. To serve or to help. Actually, the noun deacon comes from that. And did you know that the feminine form of that noun is used a few times of women who serve in the church? Not that they were part of the ordained or anything that were like the deacons that Paul talks about in Timothy, but they were there and they were a vital part because the word deaconess is used. And I tell you, our women serve, wow. They really, you know, that whole ministering thing comes really, I think, easier to women than it does to men, does it? You're wired a little bit that way, maybe. I don't know. But this is ministry and serving and helping other people out of love. Because you're not truly worshiping once again and growing if you're not building a fire in you. As you're worshiping God, as you're growing as a Christian, it builds a fire in you to want to serve him. You're not truly worshiping if that's not happening. You're not truly part of the fellowship, one of the purposes, unless you're sharing in the lives of others. And you don't have much credibility in the minds of the lost if you're not serving them and proving that you love them with the love of Christ. You know, I was so glad to be part of our Road Riders motorcycle ministry as we had a big gathering in Branson this week. And to be there with hundreds and, man, line up in the bikes and get a police escort out of town. But, you know, we did a couple of things. You know, they got a connection to get into one of the elementary schools. And they brought all the kids out. And we went and circled that, man. And they were so excited. But we got to share with them a little bit about what respect and courtesy and things, and we believe that based on the Bible. We didn't, you know, get a chance just to have a regular preaching service at public school. They even kicked out and never got to come back. But they want us to come back because we're able to do that and hand out some different things for those kids that want them to take home. They left more tracks for kids that would want to take them voluntarily to take them. But I got some video of that. I'll try to show in the next week or two. This is amazing. And there at Hollister, it was powerful. We enjoyed that so much. But we're not just going to go. If you're going to let us come into your school and do this, guess what? They set up at a restaurant to where from 4 till 10 on a certain day, 10% of the tickets went to the Road Rider Ministry. They turned around and gave half of it to that school. You want to let us come in and minister? We're going to do more than that. So in other words, when we get there, we're going to do things for you. We got to go down on the landing, the Branson Landing. Any guys on Branson Landing yesterday? Oh, you missed it. Man, we had all these bikes on. They let us parade all the way down through the road right down to Branson Landing. I always wanted to ride something through there. But I got to yesterday. We went down all these bikes. I don't know how many they were. And we went down all the way by Bass Pro and turned around and come back. You know where the fountain is? We parked all around it, had a bike show. We got to hand out some stuff to people. We got to engage with people and talk to them and talk about Jesus. It was powerful. So here's one thing about service and ministry. It is, how does God want me to serve? What's my gift? You know what? I thought this would be a great time to try to do those spiritual gift profiles to see where we're all at. You know what? I've done that before, and it seems like it just doesn't work that well. I want to ask you something. What are you already knowing that you're good at? Oh, me, I'm just not good at anything. Okay, complaining and being pathetic is not one of them. Let's try again. There's some things that you do that you're pretty good at. You know what? God says, I want to start right there. There are some things you enjoy. One of the guys that came up to me, he said, oh, I ride a bike and I'm a Christian. I want to find out more about this. He says, you mean that God can take something that I love to do and use it for ministry? Wow! You know how to sew? You know how to cook? Junior Pasley, you know how to fry fish? You do. And I already know a few people that you just got, don't go piling on Junior now. I need some fish. No, that's not the way you do it. But I know some people that you have ministered to just by frying some fish. See what I'm saying? Did you know that was a ministry? It is. Do you see where we're going with this? We're getting down into the nitty-gritty of what it means to serve God. There may be some things that you're already doing that God could use for ministry, and you're going to start there. Now, I'm not saying that God might not ask you to step out of some areas that you right now don't know that you can do, because he's going to gift you and supernaturally help you. But this is where it starts. I got to get on through this. Then he says teaching. Well, I want to point out here one thing that you might want to. If you're using an older translation like the Old King James, it says, let us wait on our ministering. And then it implies like you do need to wait on teaching before you teach. But that's actually not in the original text, that little phrase there. It doesn't mean that you got to wait. The sense is that if your gift is ministry, get to ministering. The word wait isn't there. But in the old days, and this is why, man, having something, not everybody understands old language, because it might make you think you wait. God says the opposite of that. It's like, if it's ministering, get to it, not wait. Because our word's different now. If ministering, get to ministering. One reason why they did that way back in the language has changed a lot since the 1600s, 1700s. But let me illustrate it this way. Part of it still is with us, you just didn't know it. The person who serves you at your table in a restaurant, and he's standing around there looking for an opportunity to get you what you need. What do you call him? The waiter. There you go. That's where that come from. Get to ministering. Get to serving. Teaching, get to teaching. Teacher is one who studies, interprets, communicates God's message is given in Scripture. Some of us are called to dive into this book and to spend a whole lot of time there so we can help others who are doing different things, but they still got to learn and grow, right, as disciples. All right, teaching. Then he says exhortation. Well, did you know some people are especially gifted in this? To exhort means to encourage and to comfort. Some just have a gift of encouraging others. Some don't. The ones that don't need to be quiet. But anyway, some people just don't. I know some preachers that don't have this gift. Did you know that? I think it's handy if you do. But I was with a pastor one time, and I was just years ago at the hospital. One of y'all was probably having surgery, and this guy was there, and I went with him. I walked with him up because I kind of knew the people involved, and they said cancer, and they said, you know, probably no more than 5 years. And the families all shook up, and as they left, you know, he just put his hand up and said, well, you know, she's in her 70s. We all got to go sometime. That may be true, but that's not what they wanted to needed to hear at that time. I'm like, oh, no. I didn't know what to do. But that wasn't the encouragement. Some people just don't, but some do have a gift. You might have a gift of encouraging others. Did you know we need that? I need that. I need people to come around me. Okay, we could talk on about that. Then he says giving. And that's a means to share or give or impart. Dr. Criswell always said that he believed that there are certain people who that God has just, they have, we're all to give, but I'm talking about a special gift of teaching, or of giving. We're all to teach, but but some have a special gift of it. But that there are some people that are generous, that God has given them an ability to make money for the purpose of putting it back into the kingdom. Blessed to be a blessing. All right, keep that in your heart. Ruling or lead, to lead. It means to stand before. The word means literally to stand before, to preside over. But it must be done with diligence. That means you need to be thorough, you need to be careful. The same word is applied to a pastor or an elder or a bishop in 1 Timothy, okay? So this is the thing. Not everybody, I think we've got some people that are gifted in other areas, but have been forced into a situation where they're having to lead or things, and it's just tough. Not everybody has that. Okay, so anyway, as we go on through this, we see that one more is showing mercy. And all of us are being merciful, but some have a special gift of being able to sympathize and to become a buffer and to become a comfort alongside those who fall into grievous times. Some have a gift of that. Some of you are abrasive and you're not gifted with this. You care and you try, but everybody's got to go sometime. You know what I'm saying? But some have a gift of being able not to encourage, but also to show mercy and to comfort, not just to encourage, but to sympathize and things like that. So there's all these different things, and to do it cheerfully, he says. Minister with the assurance of God's victorious mercies, and to do it cheerfully. So wrapping this up, what's the meaning of this? The meaning is there's a service which as a living sacrifice we all should be performing. But know this, God's not going to call on you to do anything without giving you, are you with me? The ability to do it. God calls you to do something, he's going to give you the ability to do it. But the meaning is there is something you should be doing. And if it's ministering, get to it. If it's teaching, get to it. If it's giving, do it. Do it. People say, well, I would do something, but I just don't feel led. You're not doing anything. Well, I would do something, I just don't feel led. Yes, your problem is lead. The lead in your pants. Get it out and get up and get to doing something. Because when we all, though we're different, use the abilities and the gifts and then the callings that specifically God has for us, we're all being used by God and we're all serving God and we're all fulfilled. It all gets done. People get built up and encouraged. The kingdom grows. People are saved. God gets glorified. And it all hinges on different gifts, one body. You might be looking at someone else. This was a problem in Corinth. Somebody has one gift and you want that so bad you're missing the one that you've got. But what you don't know is it's the one that you've got that we're needing so desperately. Do you know that nearly probably 99% of the work that goes on in this church goes on behind the scenes? It does. And I think the greatest reward, the last will be first, the first will be last. I'll tell you some of the greatest rewards when we get to heaven of people are going to be folks that none of y'all knew what they were doing in this town and in this church. And it'll be somebody like me perhaps that, you're kind of visible. You're going to say, man, he was more pathetic than we even realized. And I'm not trying to be too funny. I'm trying to be kind of serious too. Do not undervalue the gift that you're given. It's just as valuable as anything else. But here's the thing. Start where you are. Start with what you know and what you can do. And find ways to serve others and glorify God with it. And from there, God's going to take you places you can't imagine. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word.